Welcome back to Dialed In, and welcome back to Jack's Garage. And in part two of Jack's Garage tonight, Brian Patty, the crew chief for the number 17 Fastenal Ford Mustang. I got to tell you, Brian, I got a ton of things to ask you about, but let's start here. The new 2020 schedule that I just spoke on Jack's Garage about with Steve Newmark, can you talk us through the competitive side of it? How does a crew chief look at the schedule for 2020?
It's definitely different, being in the sport for quite a while. It's definitely not the traditional schedule we're used to. Obviously, in Phoenix is different. Some of the races in the Chase are different, which is cool. And I think I remember another road course in the Chase. Daytona, bookending, starting and ending the regular seasons. I think that's pretty cool. It's definitely exciting. But I won't really worry about that until come September, October after this season, and start, playing out our strategy for next year. But it's definitely exciting. A good time to be in NASCAR.
Would you like to see the final race, the championship race that used to be Homestead and now will be ISM, rotate, if not every year, every couple of years, to make it fair for the competitors seeking a championship or not? What do you think of that?
I think it should be. Yeah, I think the last 10 should be, they should all rotate. I think it'd be neat if it was a lottery, kind of like the all-star events, in Major League Baseball and also basketball. So, I would be all for it rotating. It'd be two, since it's a one and done, four guys go for a championship. I think the track needs to change on a yearly basis.
And you think that would be fairer for the competitors because some competitors are good at different tracks.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, certain guys run really well at certain racetracks, and I think it would probably, if we're going to put the championship all in one race, I think it needs to be different tracks, every year.
Well, good. We can debate that some. And I kind of like that. But from a competitive standpoint, that's a whole nother area to talk about. And so you've been helpful in discussing that. Let's talk about the qualifying procedure changes for this weekend to eliminate what happened at Auto Club Speedway. You have to leave a direct line onto the racetrack and you got to get out and take a lap. How do you look at the new rule?
Obviously, some of these rules were in effect. We just never really enforced them. Now they're, right. They're going to start cracking down on stuff. For Fontana, just in this, an example, it's, let's be honest. All of us wanted to get a lap time in. Definitely didn't want all 12 cars not to do that. But it was such a jockey at the end of that road leaving. We knew, how many seconds from the end we had to leave and you didn't want to be the first guy because you want to be the guy drafting. So, if you don't have a lead guy and the lead guy doesn't lead or leave the pit road in the time it takes to get back to green, then we don't get a time, and that's what happened. So, that's not good for our sport. So I applaud NASCAR for actually making some changes and saying we're going to stick to these rules, and if you don't abide by them, then we'll just, you'll start in the back. So I think it's good. I mean, it's definitely not what we intended in Fontana. But we've played the same games in Vegas, and we all barely made the last round, and all 12 cars made a lap time. So I like their qualifying. I like the group efforts. I like the 550s, the strategy, spotter, driver. Car obviously has to be good, but it's just a lot more strategic now than last year. It would be all about the car and the driver. So I like it a lot. So hopefully these changes will make it even better.
And Brian, as a crew chief, do you think everyone gets it? Will there be any confusion? Does everybody get it? I mean, is it pretty laid out and clear in your mind how qualifying will go?
Oh, it's pretty clear. It's, you leave your pit stall, you'll go down, we have a qualifying map that for pit road that shows you where you can line up. It's called staging areas. And there's one on the left and one on the right. And you'll go there and you'll hold. And when it's time to go, if you commit to the inside, you better get going. I'm pretty sure that they'll pay attention to who's, leaving, accelerating fast enough and whatnot, because, we all have data now, so we can see who's going what speeds and RPM and all that stuff now. So it's no guesswork. So we can we definitely can watch and see who's kind of not going at full speed versus the guys that are, you know, committed once they get in the center lane to qualifying. So it's it'll be fun. But as long as NASCAR you know, sticks their guns and penalizes the people that play the games, then hey, I'm all for it.
Is there still room for game playing? Maybe not the Russian roulette, but some game playing there. Is there still some of that we can expect?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think there's still gonna be games. You know, it's one of those things where you're out on pit road never really mattered before. Now it's probably going to matter because where you can get down to the end and stage and how many cars back you can be and all that stuff. It's definitely going to be games. And, you know, obviously whoever can adapt the fastest and stay on top of it will, you know, probably sell in the polls. So it'll be interesting come Texas time.
Can't wait. And looks like we have a little chance of rain for Friday, too. So I don't know, you know, how that figures in. I don't know how much the weather is, what you look at, or you just kind of wait till you get there for that?
No, we pay attention to it. You know, it's definitely a lot warmer on Friday than this Saturday and Sunday. So therefore, you know, most teams will unload and qualify and trim only. So if it rains, you know, they'll start by points. But it looks okay to me. I think we'll definitely get it in.
Yeah, it looks like coming and going showers kind of thing. Okay, so you and your team, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and the 17 Fastenal Ford, battled through 500 grueling laps at Martinsville to finish 25th. A lot of work, 25th place finish. And, you know, Martinsville has never been great, at least not recently, for Roush Fenway Racing. How do you look at Martinsville coming out of that one?
Actually, it was a grueling 498 laps for us, seeing we finished two laps down. But
exactly.
You know, it was a struggle for all our cars. Definitely not what we expected. You know, we ran pretty well there in 2017, 16 and 17. I think we, you know, between 10th and 12th place finishes both the years, in 16 and 17. 18, obviously, we wrecked the car in the spring and then had a bad race. And then the fall, we finished 19th and just – it was okay. It was nothing to write home about. And then, yeah, this one definitely caught us off guard. Our cars wasn't competitive off the truck. We were pretty much stuck in that 20th to 25th range on speed charts, both averages and overall. So it was concerning. We all worked hard. We all changed setups. We all did what we were supposed to do. When I say all, it's, you know, both Roush Fenway and Front Row Motorsports, and just never found anything to light the cars on fire. So we came back. Obviously Monday was a day of meetings, trying to get ready for you know, the second Martinsville, and make sure while it's fresh in your mind, you always make notes. And I thought we had really good dialect with our drivers and engineers, and we'll definitely if we go back there and run 25th again, it's definitely not because of lack of effort. So we'll chalk it up, try to get better at Martinsville, but now our focus turned to, you know, Texas. In the next 4 weeks, actually 4 or 5 weeks, has been historically good for Ricky. He loves going fast. So Texas, Dover, Talladega, and then Bristol's one of his best racetracks, and you throw in Richmond in there. So, you know, we're focused on the next 5 weeks now.
Yeah, before we leave Martinsville, you could have easily slid through the race being 500 grueling laps, and you pointed out two laps down, so that sticks in your craw a little, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's you know, I hate finishing laps down. You know, obviously if you typically finish on lead lap in these races, you've finished well, or, you know, decent, and then you know, you execute and do the obvious things right, and you can have better days than that. But two laps down, you're kind of stuck. Got pretty aggressive there mid-race, trying to get a couple laps back, taking the wave around on used tires, and it worked for, you know, 40 laps or so until we later come back around. Just, you know, the lack of cautions kind of takes the strategy out of it, but you know, we need to get our cars better. We get our cars better, we don't have to worry about trying to take the wave and getting a lucky dog and all that stuff. We can race lead lap all day.
Yeah. Well, Ricky knows how to get to victory lane at Texas. In 2012, he held off Denny Hamlin and claimed his first victory in the Xfinity Series there. I think last year the team was penalized with an uncontrolled tire, and he had to serve a pass-through and cost him to lose a lap to the leaders, and I think he was scored in the 20th position. But that 20th was only part of the story because that was only stage two. He does love Texas Motor Speedway. What about you?
Oh yeah, I love Texas. It's fun. It's a great place to go. Atmosphere is cool. The track is so fast, and you know it helps when Ricky likes it. So we actually came back to finish 11th in the fall after that penalty. You know, he battled back. It's kind of like Atlanta. You know, we had a really good car Atlanta this year and got caught speeding and had to do a pass through and finished 18th. But we recovered last year at Texas, and you know, we're working hard on everything from car prep to you know, driver focus and attitude to, you know, pit lane to pit crews to pit stops, no penalties. I mean, it's a total effort to run up front. These guys, you know, you have to put in to compete with the Penske and the Stuart Haas guys and Gibbs guys like that. So we're putting in an effort, so hopefully it'll show off here in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
And last thing, you go to Texas, drafting, fast speeds, downforce, new package. What in general, you know, aside from the qualifying, do you expect in general?
Oh, and track treatment. You forgot that. They're adding traction treatment to both corners.
That.
It's full of variables this week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, we think we, you know, you have an idea how the race is going to go, how qualifying is going to go, given, you know, we've got some data points from Vegas, Fontana, with the same package. So we've taken those notes. You know, we ran well at Vegas, not so much at Fontana, and, you know, kind of put them together. And we know what we're going to do on Friday, and we have a plan for how we're going to load Saturday. So you just got to be open. You know, when you have so many variables, you got to be open to change. And I think, you know, the track being treated on both ends, setup's going to change. Line's going to change, so Ricky's going to move around. It's just is what it is, right? So being open and having a plan, you know, if this doesn't work, which way do we go, is going to be key.
Yeah, there are enough variables that can't even make a list long enough to include all of them, and you guys deal with it so well. Well, I wish you good luck coming up this weekend at Texas, and thank you for joining Jack's Garage tonight. Really appreciate it, Brian Patty. Good luck.
Thank you for having me.